In those days, the crest was in service to Steward Captain Auxilia of the Drift. The Vidala family is bleeding money. We have captured their last 7 shipments of goods and rebuffed a handful of attempts by the Fell Swords to retake those goods. The Vidala business is in chaos without the guiding hand of its keeper, Elphus, who disappeared from his home last night. Soon, the family will have no choice but to take direct control over their assets, and when they do, we will have them. It would seem our actions have been noticed by the ruling body of Heartvale. They dispatched the commander of the City Watch, Taric Bloodborn, to ensure we understood that actions taken against their citizens would be met with swift justice. He blustered and raged, living up to the name I've heard him called, the Bloodborn Bull. But the captain is not one to be intimidated. He thanked the commander for his visit and assured him that we have no intention of harming the citizens of Heartvale, only in fulfilling our contracts. What the Watch Commander does not know is that our alliance with the Shade affords us a certain amount of leeway. The captain has been assured by the Shade that any actions taken against the Vidala family can be viewed as done in service to the city. But until we know whether one of the Council of 12 is behind the Vidala family's conspiracy, we must continue to work in the shadows. Of course, the shadows are where we do our best work. Welcome back for another episode of Errant Adventures. As always, I'm your game master and solo player, Steve Morrison. First off, today marks my 50th episode. Thanks to everyone who's come along for this wild ride. Here's to the next 50 and the 50 after that. Now for the important part. On this week's episode, Ben discovers that interrogation may not be his strong suit. Find out what happens on episode 11, Best Laid Plans. So in last episode, Ben managed to observe Elphus, the business manager of the Vidala family and shopkeeper of their shop on the Red Steps. He determined that there was no way for him to kidnap Elphus on his route home or back to the shop, either in the evening or in the morning, and that the only way to do so would be to kidnap him basically in the middle of the night. He did so after stabbing a member of the Fell Swords who was on watch because he could not get a good enough angle to knock the man unconscious. And he was maybe driven a little bit by anger over the attacks against the crest that these Fell Swords had initiated. So Ben managed to get into Alphys's home and abduct the shopkeeper. And that was the end of last episode and the end of that scene. Now I'm going to go ahead and roll for our next scene. And I think because that part of the mission went so well, I think that I can go ahead and take the chaos factor from 6 down to 5 as Ben sort of retained control throughout that whole scenario. And now we are going to go ahead and roll our D10 and compare it to our chaos factor of 5. And we're going to find out how this next scene plays out. So here we go. I've got a 2, which is below the chaos factor, and an even number, which means it's going to be an interrupt scene. As Ben is driving this wheelbarrow that is covered by a tarp that has the unconscious form of Alphys tucked inside of it, we're going to find out what this interrupt scene is. So first of all, we're going to determine our event focus. So I'll roll my percentile dice and look at the event focus table in Mythic. 68, PC positive. Ooh, all right, that's good. We like those kinds of interrupts. What kind of positive is this? I'm going to go ahead and roll again on the action and subject tables to get a sense of what that positive thing might be. 17. Antagonize. And the subject, 42. Antagonize a plot. Interesting. And this is positive for Ben. So we don't know what the Vidala are yet planning, but I think because this is a PC positive and because of the prompt, I'm going to say that even though Ben doesn't know it yet, he grabbed Alphys at just the right moment to set back whatever they had in motion. I haven't really determined yet how much Alphys knows about the Vidala family plot and what they're looking to do and accomplish in the city. And so we're going to kind of figure that out as we go through this interrogation. But I think instead of playing out a different scene or something like that, what this interrupt tells us is that Ben is going to be interrogating Alphys at a better position than he would have before, because I think Alphys knows enough, and we, again, don't know how much, but I think he knows enough to know that whatever the Vidala are planning, it is about to kick off. And I don't want to say that he is inclined against whatever they're planning, just because I don't want to create that expectation yet until we start rolling dice in this interrogation and see how things turn out. What I'll say is that I will give myself the leeway to give him a little bit more of a positive spin when it comes to asking questions about whether or not he knows about and agrees with the Vidala plots. For all we know, he is going to be excited to be out from under the sway of the Vidala and is going to help Ben out completely. We haven't determined that yet, but I think that is a great lead in to our scene. Alphys wakens in the dark. He is bound to a chair, and his eyes are covered by some sort of cloth, and there is a gag in his mouth. And he struggles for a moment against the bonds, and then a voice speaks. And the voice says, "Don't struggle, Alphys. I've tied those bonds too tightly for you to get away. Trust me on this. I've tied a few knots in my day." Alphys says, "Just one moment. I want to establish some ground rules before I remove the gag and we have a conversation. I want to establish first that I don't intend to hurt you. I'm not here to kill you. If I was, you'd already be dead. No, I am here to talk. I'm here to learn from you about your employers. As such, if you cooperate with me, and if you tell me the truth, we will be friends. No harm will come to you, and you will be able to go home to your husband. If you lie to me, or if you try to call for help, and I want you to be clear on this, there is no help coming. I've made certain of that. If you try to call out, if you try to lie to me, trust me on this, my friend, I will not be happy. And I will make you suffer. I won't enjoy it. I don't want to be doing this, Alphys. but your employers are doing some dangerous things, and I think you know that. If you help me, if you help us, well, let's just say that things will go better for you. If you understand, go ahead and nod. Alphys nods. Ben steps up behind him and loosens the gag, and as it is removed from Alphys' mouth, the shopkeeper kind of moves his lips and tongue a little bit and stretches his jaw, and he says,
"Is Edgar all right?"
Ben replies, "Yes. Your husband is fine. He went to work. He got up and left for the day. He won't know till he comes home that you are missing. And honestly, it's very possible if you cooperate with me that I can get you home before he gets home from work. Now, tell me what you know about your employers."
"What? Who are you?"
"That's not important, Alphys. What is important is that I know who you are, I know who you work for, and I need you to tell me everything about the Vidala right now." So here is the question. Is Alphys loyal to the Vidala family? I think because of that leeway that I'm going to give myself, instead of calling it 50-50, I'm going to say it is unlikely. I'm going to say it's unlikely that he is loyal to the Vidala family. So I'm going to roll my 2d10s, and I'm going to check the fate chart to see if that is a yes or no. Is Alphys loyal? 13. Is a yes. Yes, he is loyal to the Vidala family. That's not good for Alphys. That's not the way that we want this to go for him. I think the other question is, how much does Alphys know about the Vidala plans? I think it is a near sure thing that he knows at least the shape of their plans, because I think, considering he is loyal to them, that he is probably an important factor in their plans being brought to fruition. I'm going to say it's a near sure thing, and chaos rank of 5. Here we go. 81 is a yes. So he does know about the Vidala plans. So he is loyal to the Vidala, and he knows about their plans. So I think that means, unfortunately, that he is going to be less than helpful to Ben. So I think he says, "I don't know what you are talking about. I don't know who you are, but release me so I can return home to my family and to my job." Ben says, "Alphys, I know about the shipments being brought into the city. I know about the artifacts that were sequestered within them. I know there's some form of magic that your people are trying to bring into the city, and I fear that they are going to use it against us, against the city. That they are not as they seem. They do not love Hartvale as you and I do. No, they have a far more sinister intention." Alphys says, "I don't know what you're talking about. There is nothing that I can tell you because I'm just the shopkeeper. I sell goods that come in. I make sure that deliveries get made. I don't know what you want from me." Ben is going to remove a dagger, and he places the cold metal against Alphys's neck. And I think the shopkeeper kind of... Ben says, "Alphys, I warned you. I don't want to hurt you, but if you lie to me, this conversation will turn sour
very quickly. Now please, tell me the truth. What are your people planning?
And I'm going to go over to Scup now, and I think Ben is going to attempt to threaten with force here. When you intimidate a person with the threat of violence, roll plus fierce. On a 10 plus, your target believes your threat. If they are an NPC, they will either do what you ask, or if they do not, you may choose to immediately commit the violence you promise them. All right, so I am going to roll 2d6, and I'm going to add my plus one fierce. 8 on the dice, plus 1 is a 9. So on a 7 and 9, you are unconvincing or they are not persuaded. Your target will choose one. Freeze in fear, surprise, or confusion. Try to strike a bargain with you or talk their way out of it. Start looking for a way out and take it if they can. Put something or someone between themselves and you. Laugh at you, challenge you, or attack you right then and there. So he definitely can't really look for a way out, and I don't think there's really anyone he can put between himself and Ben. So it's going to have to be either be freeze in fear, try to strike a bargain, or laugh and challenge him. And since there are three options, I'm going to roll a d6, and 1 to 2 will be the first option, 3 to 4 will be the second, and 5 to 6 will be the third option. Let's find out what Alphys's response is. Oh, Alphys, you're really trying to make this hard on yourself. I got a 6 on the die, which means he's going to laugh, challenge, or attack right then and right there. So he can't attack because he is bound, but he is going to laugh and say, "Look, I don't know who you are, but you don't scare me. My employers are not going to be happy when they find that I've been kidnapped, and I can assure you, our soldiers are going to tear apart the city. They will find you, and they're going to do worse things to you than you could possibly imagine." Ben, listening to this, his shoulders slump a little bit, and he says, "I'm very disappointed to hear that, Alphys. I really thought that we could be friendly about this. I was hoping that it wouldn't come to this." And he is going to clock the man over the back of the head and knock Alphys unconscious. Once Alphys is unconscious, Ben sheathes the knife and goes back and sits down. And they're in this small, like, warehouse that the Crest have rented out. And Ben is sitting there. He is looking at the unconscious Alphys, and he's sort of tapping his foot, and he scratches at his jaw with his fingers, and then he gets up and moves about the room. He is going to replace the gag, make sure that Alphys is doubly secure, and then he is going to slip out, and I think he is going to head into the market. And I think he's going to try and find some supplies. He's going to go to an apothecary and try to find some supplies that will make Alphys a little bit more pliable. So that's going to be the end of that scene. And I think the Chaos Factor's got to go back up because that did not go in the way that Ben wanted. I think Ben knows that he could try to push Alphys with pain and all these other things, but I think he also knows from his time fighting in a war that that sort of thing doesn't work the way that people hope it does. And so he is going to go out and try to find some herbs that he can put together, maybe to push Alphys into an altered state of mind that he will be a little bit more pliable to answer questions. So our next scene is going to be find an apothecary to buy supplies. So we are going to roll our D10 and compare it to the chaos rank of 6 and see how this scene plays out. A one. So it is an altered scene. So this would be the next logical scene idea. So I think the next logical scene is that he is, in fact, already at an apothecary shop. I think he probably knows of an apothecary shop that he can go to. And let's see, does this apothecary shop, is this one that is run by someone that he knows? Is it the sort of thing that he's used it before in the last few months that he's been with the crest? I'm going to say it is 50-50. So I'm going to ask the fate chart. We're going to use the chaos rank of 6 here. So does he know the shopkeeper at this apothecary? I'm going to say it is 50-50. 7 is an exceptional yes. So he absolutely knows this person. So I think that actually gives me an idea. So he is looking around for an apothecary, but I think the closest apothecary shop is further away than he wants to go in order to get what he needs. And then he thinks about Merrick. His brewery is close to here, and Merrick has experimented with adding various different ingredients into his beer. And I think Ben knows this, and so he is going to stop off at Merrick's brewery and is going to see if he can get some supplies from his friend at the brewery. So he shows up at the brewery, and I think Merrick is like, Ben, my friend, it's so good to see you. Come on in. What can I do for you? And Ben says, Merrick, I'm looking for some ingredients. I'm working on a little potion, and I need, and he lists off a few different ingredients, and Merrick kind of gives him an aside eye and says, my old friend, what could you possibly need those for? And Ben smiles a little bit and says, I can't really say, Merrick, but trust me, it's for the good of the city. And Merrick looks at him and sort of gives him a very discerning look. And I think we're going to ask the fate chart, does Merrick have these ingredients on hand? I think it is probably unlikely, just because in order to make essentially a like truth serum potion or something hallucinogenic that is going to drive Alphys into another state of consciousness that Ben might be able to gather some information from him. Doesn't seem super likely that Merrick is going to have it here. But if he does, it'll be super great. So I'm going to say it's unlikely. Chaos rank of 6. 84 is a no. He does not. He does not have the ingredients that Ben needs. And so I think Merrick says, I'm sorry, my friend, I don't have those anymore. I stopped dabbling with those potions and additives a while ago. I found it just sort of corrupted the natural flavor of my beer, and I didn't want to continue playing with those sorts of things. Ben frowns and says, well, do you know where I might find it? And Merrick, what's the likelihood Merrick knows someone? I think it's very likely. In fact, I'm going to say it's a sure thing that Merrick knows somebody that Ben could get these herbs from. 10 on a chaos rank of 6 is an exceptional yes. So he definitely knows someone. And he says, let's see, let's go ahead and give this person a name. I'm going to go for male names on this one. Mortimer.
My good friend Mortimer, do you remember him from our time at the Scriptorium?
And I think it's probably 50-50 on whether or not Ben remembers him, this Mortimer character. So let's ask the fate chart. 68. 68 is going to be a no. No, he does not. So Ben says, I do not, my friend. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right. We were not in all the same classes, you know. It's not like you and I, but Mortimer is a good fellow. He definitely has his hands in a number of herbal remedies. His shop is
a little way down the street, and he kind of gives Ben some directions, and Ben makes his way to Mortimer's shop. When Ben enters the shop, and I'm going to count this as all part of the same scene, Ben enters this shop, and Mortimer is this man who is behind the counter. He's about Ben's age as well. Ben and Merrick are kind of around the same age, that sort of like early 20s. And he looks up and says,
"Yes, hello, what can I do for you?"
And Ben says, "Ah, you must be Mortimer."
"Yes, yes, I am.
I was sent here by my good friend Merrick."
"Merrick? Such a fine fellow. Why has he sent you to me?"
Ben says,
"I am looking for some herbs for a potion."
And he lists the herbs that he needs. And let's go ahead and use the market move. So when you go into a market looking for a particular thing, roll plus Wily. On a 10 plus, it's right there for you at a reasonable price. On a 7 to 9, the MC chooses one of the following. 2d6 plus 1. 4 plus 1 is 5, which is a miss. So he does not have the herbs that Ben is looking for. And I think Ben is becoming more and more frustrated as this happens. So Mortimer says,
"Oh, no, I'm very sorry. I do not have those. I should have them back in stock next week. I can set some aside for you if that's of interest to you."
And I think Ben simply says,
"No, thank you. I appreciate that, but I think that will be far too late for me. I appreciate your help, Mortimer. I will return another day if I need something else."
And Ben is going to make his way out. Well, that has very much not gone the way that I was hoping. So I think we've exhausted this avenue of looking for the supplies. Ben could continue to seek these supplies, but I think the longer he is gone, I think the more chance there is that either the Fel Swords are going to find Alphys, or something else is going to happen that is going to keep Ben away. So I think I have to decide right now, basically, if Ben is going to continue with this and is going to go a little bit further away to get the supplies, in which case I would basically not roll for it. I think he would get the supplies, but we would then have to determine if he was able to get back in time before some sort of dramatic thing happened. Or, and I think this is what I'm going to try, I'm going to attempt to call on my faction. So this is a scup move, and I'm going to spend my 2 honor that I have accumulated over the last couple of episodes, as Ben has shown his skill in being able to capture and abduct Alphys. I'm going to spend 2 honor, I'm going to roll 2d6, and I'm going to hope that I get a good roll on this. So here we go. 2d6 plus 2. Double sixes, yes. All right, so that's 12 on the dice, plus 2 is 14. So on a 10 plus, activate one of your faction's benefits. The benefits for the crest are magic and dirty work, and I'm going to activate magic. So I think the warehouse where they're keeping Alphys is not too far away from the crow's nest. And so Ben is going to stop in at the crow's nest, and he is going to find a mage who is there. I don't think it's Lafalia. I think it's going to be someone else. So let's go ahead and get a name. Arid. So Arid is another member of the crest. He is one of the mages in the crest who is not as powerful as Lafalia, but is certainly able to do magic. And I think Ben approaches him and says,
Eret, good, you're here. I need some sort of magical charm or something that is going to affect the mind of this person that I'm trying to question.
And I think Eret says, that is not how that works, my friend, but I would be happy to come with you and do my best to assist you if you would like. And Ben is going to say,
very well, whatever it takes, we have to get this information out of this man. I think that whatever is going to happen quickly, and we need to find out what he knows.
I will follow you. And so they are going to return back to the warehouse. As they are heading back to the warehouse, I think this is a good place to change up our scene. That was definitely not in control for Ben, as he had to run all over the place. So I'm going to increase the cast factor to 7, and this is going to be return to the interrogation. We're going to roll our D10 and see how this plays out. 6, which is underneath our chaos factor and is an even number, so it's going to be another interrupt scene. So we are going to go ahead and roll our event focus. 76, ambiguous event. Okay, well let's roll on action and subject and see what this ambiguous event might be. 78. Cruelty, and 26, cruelty the physical. Okay, so I think what this is Ben and Eret return to where the warehouse is, and I think they find Alphys, but as they enter, there's this strangeness in the air. I think Ben senses it almost immediately as he steps through. There is blood around the chair, and it certainly looks as though Alphys has struggled to break free. And Ben is going to move over to the body and is going to look at Alphys and check and see if he is still alive. And this is going to be, I think, study a situation. So once again, I'm going to roll 2d6 and add plus my sly, which is plus 1. It's 11 on the dice, plus 1 for a 12. So on a 10 plus, ask 3 questions. My questions are, where is my best escape route, way in, way past? How is one of my adversaries vulnerable to me right now? What am I missing? Who or where is my enemy really? Who's actually pulling the strings here? Who or what here could be a useful opportunity for me? So I think that there is something magical going on here. That's that weird feeling that Ben got as he stepped through. And I think Eret is like, my friend, there is something very wrong here. And Ben is like, I sense it as well. I don't know exactly what it is. Let me check on my prisoner. And he's going to approach Alphys. And again, as he's approaching, he sees droplets of blood coming from the man's wrists where they are still bound, and from his like face. And Alphys is sort of slumped over a little bit, I think. And as Ben approaches, it's almost as if Alphys senses him approaching and begins jerking and struggling and trying to break free. So, first question. How is one of my adversaries vulnerable to me right now? I think that because Alphys is proven to be loyal to the Vidala and is in on whatever their plans are, I think there is some sort of magical link between the Vidala and Alphys that they are using in this moment to try and communicate with him. And because Alphys himself is not a mage, there is probably some tool that he uses at home or wherever he is in order to respond, whether that's like looking into a bowl of water or looking into a mirror or something like that. And I think as he is struggling, he's having this very physical reaction because he's basically not answering the phone and they're continuing to try and contact him. And I think that in so doing, they're creating this sort of shock to his system, as there's probably a compulsive aspect to this magic that he has to respond, and he is incapable of doing so. So there is this very fine thread of magical essence that is tied from Alphys to whichever of the Vidala is trying to contact him. So that could potentially be a vulnerability if Arid can discover that and follow it back in some magical way. Who or what here could be a useful opportunity for me? I think Ben is looking at this and he is seeing a man who is in a way being tormented by whatever this magic is that is playing out. And Ben is starting to think, can he use this to turn Alphys away from the Vidala? And what am I missing? That is going to be the last question. And for that, I'm going to roll action and subject to see if what Ben is missing. 49, harm. 27, harm a project. So I think what Ben is missing here is that the magical, like, compulsion, the pain that Alphys is undergoing as this magic is working on him is not just having a physical manifestation, but is actually having a mental manifestation, as it is causing him pain and is causing him to, in a way, sort of like lose his mind. As he's going through this repeated sort of compulsive summons that he can't satisfy. And I think if they don't act quickly, Alphys is not going to be a useful information source. So I think Ben turns to Arid and says, Arid, do you know what's happening to him? And let's ask the fate chart. I think it is likely that Arid, as a mage, is going to know what this is. Chaos rank is 7. 84, but because our cast rank is 7, that is actually a yes, he does. So he is looking over this and kind of stroking his chin a little bit, and he says, I think I do, my friend. I think I know what this is. There is some sort of magical compulsion for him to answer. I believe some mage, perhaps with the Fell Swords, or perhaps even the Vidala themselves, are trying to contact him. And Ben says, and why is he not responding? Arid says, I believe they need to have some sort of physical object in which to do so. It is possible that if this continues, he will not survive. Ben says, if he's being contacted by someone, what do we need? Arid shrugs a little bit and says, it could be as simple as a bowl of water or a mirror. Something very straightforward, a reflective surface. And Ben is going to stand up. He draws out his dagger. He goes ahead and cuts the bonds. And I think Alphys, like, stands up and, like, rips off the blindfold and the gag. And he's kind of like, you know, like choking a little bit on some of this blood that has pooled in his throat. And he spits it out. And Ben holds his dagger up in front of Alphys, and I think in the dim light, Alphys sees his reflection and his eyes sort of like glaze over a little bit, and he says, I am here. And then very strangely, like, the temperature of the room kind of changes a little bit. And a female voice says, where are you? Alphys looks around and Ben kind of like grabs him by the shirt and just like stares daggers at him. And Alphys says, I don't know. I'm being held by someone. And the voice says, by who? And I think at that point, this face resolves on the other side of the dagger, the side of the dagger that is facing Ben. And he sees this woman's eyes in the reflection of the dagger. And she clearly sees him. And he hears this voice say, "Who are you, stranger?" And Ben, looking back into these eyes, says, "I'm a member of the Crest. And who do I have the honor of addressing?" And she is going to say, "My name is Cleopha. Cleopha Vidala. And you are messing with forces beyond your understanding, Crest." Ben says, "Your man is in our custody. He's going to tell us everything we need to know, and there is nothing you can do about it." And I think Cleopha says, "Are you so sure about that?" And I think Arid says, "Careful, my friend. I sense a power gathering." Ben looks back into her eyes and says, "I don't know what you're planning to do in this city, what your goals or aims are, but I can tell you this. Wherever you run to, wherever you hide, we will follow and we will stop you." And then he, before she can respond, is going to sheathe the dagger away, and Alphys kind of sags a little bit. Ben grabs his shoulders and says, "That woman has no concern for your well-being. She is only interested in using you for your managerial abilities. Don't you see? They are not coming for you. They are going to leave you in our clutches. There's nothing you can do here other than help us. Help us stop them, and you can go home. And you don't have to ever suffer that compulsive magic again." And it is going to be, I think, a persuade with leverage. I think Alphys is a little bit shaken by what just happened, but I don't think he's necessarily, you know, disloyal. So this is going to be roll plus Wily. So I'm going to go ahead and mark an advancement point because this is the first time this scene I'm using Wily. I've done that a couple times without noting it this episode with Fierce and with Wily once before, and that actually fills up my advancement tracker. So, yay, I get a new advancement. So I'm going to roll 2d6, and I'm going to add plus 1 as we persuade with leverage. 2 on the dice, plus 1 is a 3. That is a complete miss. So Alphys looks at Ben, and I think now he's like unbound, and he is going to feebly like try and reach for Ben's short sword that's hanging at his hip. And Ben, who is much younger and much more spry at the moment, just sidesteps a little bit and pushes Alphys to the ground. And I think Arid is going to say, "My friend, I think we need to get out of here. I am sensing the approach of something powerful." And they are going to have to get out of this warehouse, because I think the consequence for that miss is that the fell swords sent by Cleopha Vidala are closing in on this warehouse, and they're going to have to try and get out. So we're going to end our scene of return to the interrogation there, and we're going to increase the chaos factor up to 8, and we're going to start a new scene, which is escape the warehouse. So we're going to go ahead and roll our d10, check how this scene setup goes. I rolled a 7, and this is 1 below our chaos factor of 8, so it is going to be the next logical scene. I think the next logical scene is that they don't have time to escape from this warehouse before the fell swords come crashing in. I think Arid is going to say,
My friend, they are here already. We should prepare ourselves. And he sort of like sets himself, raises his hands, and begins like swirling them around and around. And the air between his hands begins to crackle. Ben is going to kneel down and quickly tie Alphys's hands behind his back. And he is going to push him back down and say, "Stay there." And then draws his short sword and dagger and is going to step off to the side. I think he is going to try and use a move that he has that's special to him as a Black Hood. He is going to attempt Like a Shadow in the Darkness. So this is rolling 2d6 plus steady to see if he can conceal himself in this place. In this warehouse. So 2d6 plus 2 for steady. 5 on the dice plus 2 is 7. So that is going to be on a 7 to 9, choose 1. So those looking for you position themselves within striking distance. Those looking for you mistake someone else for you. Those looking for you are distracted by something else that's equally pressing. You stumble across something interesting or important as you hide or escape. Okay, so I'm definitely going with those looking for you are distracted by something else that's equally pressing as the door smashes open and two fell swords leap into the room and Arid releases this crackling energy that he's been building up and they sort of dive to each side of the door. And I think Ben is up close with one of them. They didn't recognize that he was there. And Ben is going to go ahead and lash out. And this is going to be with Fierce as he is going to engage in combat. So this is 2d6 plus 1. Here we go. Oh, 2 1s and a 1 is 3, which is going to be a miss. Ben is the worst at fighting, so he is going to take all the harm. So he charges forward at this fell sword, and the fell sword, who dove out of the way of this crackling energy, is going to roll to his feet, and somehow he brings his blade over and blocks Ben's attack with a miraculous speed, and he is going to then push back and punch Ben in the chest and knock him back. I think as that happens, I'm not going to say that Ben's going to take any harm on this because I'm basically giving myself the benefit of having attacked from surprise. So the fell sword wasn't ready with his bladed weapon to deal harm. It's just basically a narrative penalty of him being knocked back and out of position. And then another two fell swords enter the room. And then I think Cleofa Vidala steps into the room and she says, "Get Alphys. I'll handle the mage." And she begins gesturing and Arid sets himself to defend against this onslaught of magic as Ben picks himself up off the ground, is kind of like heaving a little bit, and there are now 4 fell swords plus the mage, and there are 2 who are kind of spreading out towards him. There are 2 who are heading over to grab Alphys, and then the 2 mages are facing off. And I think we're going to go ahead and attempt to engage in combat again as Ben is going to throw himself at the 2 fell swords approaching. And we're going to roll 2d6 plus 1, 8 on the dice, plus 1 is 9. So that is going to be a success, but with a little bit of consequence. I've got a couple options here. I can attack with vigor, inflict plus 1 harm, parry their blows, take minus 1 harm, battle aggressively, inflict plus 2 harm, but take an additional plus 1 harm yourself, or fight defensively, inflict minus 1 harm, but take an additional minus 2 harm to yourself.
So I'm going to go ahead and attack with vigor as he leaps forward, and I think he just strikes one of the two down. But Ben is also going to take one harm as his armor absorbs a little bit of the blow, and he is going to take a nasty cut across his arm, and he sort of like drops down into a defensive stance, and let's see how the mage battle is going. Let's say it is 50-50. Is Arid able to hold off Cleopha for this moment? 50-50. 71 is a yes. So Arid is, I think, also fighting defensively, but he is sort of like swirling air around him as these like nasty, sickly green bolts of energy are lashing out from Cleopha's hands. And she is trying to break through his defenses, but he is so far holding his own. I am going to go ahead and I'm torn here between engaging in more combat or trying to roll at zero honor to call on your faction. I don't know that there's a way to do that. So we're going to engage in combat once again as Ben faces off against another Fellsword. 2d6 plus 1. 4 plus 1 is 5 for another miss. This time I think it is going to be no way about it. He is just going to take the harm. So we're going to mark another box of harm as his armor absorbs some of it. And unfortunately, that fills him up to 5 boxes because he was still hurting from the attack on the crow's nest. And I am going to go ahead and roll taking harm to see what happens. This is going to be 2d6 plus 1. Low rolls are better. 8 plus 1 is going to be a 9. So on a 7 to 9, the MC can choose 1. You lose your footing, you lose your grip on whatever you're holding, you lose track of someone or something you're attending to, you miss noticing something important. So I'm going to say you lose track of someone or something you're attending to. The Fellswords grab Alphys and pull him away. At this point, Ben is bleeding from multiple places. He is starting to feel like he's going to lose consciousness. And he's going to say, Arid, we've got to get out of here. We're not going to win this fight. And they are going to try and withdraw. Can Arid break away from the battle with Cleopha? I think it's unlikely. So this is a chaos rank of 8. 68 is a no. He cannot. So he is unable to break away. He's like, Ben, my friend, you go! And is like swirling the magic around him, trying to hold her off. Ben looks at the door. Ben looks at Cleopha. Ben looks at Arid, and then he looks at the other Fellswords who are beginning to approach. Ben will not abandon Arid. He will not abandon a fellow member of the Crest. He takes a deep breath. He grips the hilt of his short sword. And he sets himself to keep fighting. Thanks for listening to Errant Adventures. And thanks so much to Sirenscape for the lovely ambient sounds and music throughout the episode. If you enjoyed the show, please tell anyone and everyone in your life about it. And if you haven't already, please rate and review the show on your favorite podcast app. It really does help others find me. If you want to interact with me, my handle on Instagram and Twitter is @errantsolopod, or you can email me at errantsolopod@gmail.com. I also post short fiction and campaign-related materials on my website, errantadventurespod.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time.